Welcome to the My Money Podcast number 32 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, editor of Help Me to Save, where you'll find tips to help you save money and live well on less. In this edition of the My Money Podcast, I'm going to look at 7 issues that you should take into account before retiring abroad. Now, while retiring abroad must cross the minds of many UK residents, especially in the middle of winter, you do have to look at all the implications. And here are 7 issues to bear in mind. Finance, language, distance from family and friends, weather, healthcare, personal safety and security, and trial period. Starting off with finance, a lower cost of living may be one of the main reasons for retiring abroad. It could be spending less on food, especially if it's cheaper to eat out in some countries than it is in the UK. It could be lower heating bills if you live in a warmer country, cheaper property prices, or lower taxes. Now, some of the countries which have been identified as offering the highest standard of living on lower income are countries like Panama and Nicaragua. The UK state pension increases annually, as if you were still living in the UK, if you live in certain countries such as members of the European Union or the USA. However, being a resident in some countries like Canada or Australia means that your state pension will be frozen. So you have to take that into account, that your state pension is going to be losing spending power every year if you live in a country which doesn't have the annual uprating. If you have a pension, which is a personal pension stakeholder or even a corporate pension, there could be tax benefits of moving that money into an offshore qualifying recognised overseas pension scheme. But you need to look into this carefully, and I'd reckon consulting a specialist independent financial advisor could be a good move. Another issue of finance, if you go to live abroad, are currency fluctuations, which may affect your income if you're receiving payments in UK pounds, which is quite likely if you get the UK state pension, if you have a pension from your UK, a job in the UK. So this can make a big difference if the pound increases or decreases in value. It could be an advantage or could be a disadvantage. You're just never sure how that's going to go. Now, language. This really is troublesome for we British because we're very lazy about learning any other languages. Now, while being able to speak the language of the country in which you go to live is maybe not so crucial for retirees who won't be looking for a job, it's still going to limit socialisation if you can't speak the local language very well. And by speaking the local language, I don't mean just knowing a few words so you can ask for things in a shop. Being able to have a conversation, especially with more than one person, is very difficult unless you're quite fluent in the language. And if you have a grounding, like me, from French at school and can remember a few words and have looked at the grammar, if you were immersed in the country, quite a lot of it might come back to you. But you would have to really spend quite a lot of time and put in an effort to get your language up to really fluent, to fully integrate in a country. But quite a few British people seem to deal with the language issue by socialising with other British people or English speaking expats. Which, yes, it's a solution, but it depends. If part of the reason why you've moved to a country is the lifestyle there, then not being able to integrate is going to mean that you can't really get the full benefit of that lifestyle. Another issue that can be difficult for people is the distance from family and friends. If you did, say, retire to a European country, you wouldn't be too far from family and friends, and regular visits would be possible. For example, if we went to live in Spain, our sons could come over on holiday sometimes, and the flights wouldn't be that expensive, especially if you live near an airport that's got quite a good competition on flights. I'd be loath to go and live somewhere that's perhaps, say, just served by Ryanair, and then they have a dispute over the airport charges, and suddenly your nearest airport is 200 miles away or something. Being near some location as a major airport with several airlines coming from the UK gives more competition a better choice of flights for accessibility. However, if you move to one of these countries in Central America I mentioned, like Panama, or round to all the way to Australia, then the cost of flights is going to make it quite prohibitive for you to go back and visit people or for people to visit you. Now, weather. Of course, the notoriously unpredictable British weather is one of the main reasons that we British may be considering going to live abroad in Spain or somewhere in Central America. However, do remember that while sunshine sounds appealing, it might not be that pleasant if summer temperatures hit 40 degrees Celsius and/or there's high humidity. And in fact, you could end up spending as much money running your air conditioning as you did on running central heating in the UK. I also find that when the weather gets to about 30, never mind 40, I can hardly go out because I have burn easily, so I have to be slathered in sun cream, always seeking shade. So while I think I would like to live in a sunnier country, probably and certainly in spring and autumn, I'm not sure about the summers. Now, healthcare. This is a serious issue because this could really affect your finances. You need to look into the cost of healthcare in any country to which you're thinking of relocating. Is there a free point of use national health service as we have in the UK? Yes, we pay taxes towards them. The National Health Service, but if you need to go to the doctor, to hospital, you don't have to pay any fees, you just have to pay a flat fee for medicines you use, which is £7 or £8 or something in England. If you're going to have to pay for private health cover, how much is that going to cost you? Are there going to be excesses and exclusions? Especially as it's likely as you get older, you will have some health issues. This needs some very serious investigation. And the next point I highlighted was personal safety and security. Now, nobody's saying that that's crime-free in the UK. There's a certain level of crime here. But many of the countries which offer the higher standard of living at the lowest cost, for example, Mexico, do have major security issues. This is a serious concern to me. I like the fact that I do feel relatively safe going about my business in the UK. I wouldn't wander around a UK city centre at midnight, 1, 2 in the morning on my own anywhere in the UK because, people coming out of pubs and clubs and all this kind of thing. But basically, I do feel relatively safe. Be aware of pickpockets and whatever. But even when I wander around London and stuff, I'm not kind of thinking, oh golly, am I going to be held at knife point or kidnapped or something like that? And when I'm out driving around in the car, it's not really on my mind that, I'm going to be carjacked and all this kind of stuff. And you don't want to exaggerate this, but I think if you look at the figures, there are some countries where there's a higher crime rate. And yes, money can buy you security. You can live in some sort of gated community with armed guards, but is that really the way you want to live? It's something you have to think about because perhaps in a lot of countries in Europe, we kind of take it for granted that we're relatively safe when we go out and about. So do look at the crime statistics of the country that you're thinking of moving to. Now, a trial period. It's really, really hard to know in advance what it's going to be like living in another country until you're there for at least a few months, maybe even years. It's really different from being on holiday there. And I do have rather alarm bells ringing in my head when people are saying, oh, we've been there on holiday and we love it and we want to go and live there. Because you've got to remember when you're on holiday somewhere, you're probably more relaxed. You could be staying somewhere where you're on half board, so you're not having to think about shopping, cooking your meals, clearing up, cleaning, washing, things like that. So the way, of course, if the weather's better, so it seems like, oh, everything's hunky-dory. Of course, if you're retiring abroad, you are going to have more free time. You're not going to have to dreading going into work or anything like that. But nevertheless, it may not be as you think it'll be. It could be better. It could be better or worse in ways that you never consider. You may miss family and friends a lot more than you think. You may find it more difficult to learn the language, even though you think you're trying your best. So you could argue that having a trial period of minimum of 6 months, maybe a year in the country that which you're thinking of relocating, just to get more of a feel of what it's like to actually live there than just being on holiday, because you have to always be aware of this grass is always greener on the other side. If you own your home, you could potentially rent out that property for 6 to 12 months, and then you can get some income from your property in the UK that can pay the rent for the property which you are renting in the country you're thinking of going to live in. But then there's the other side of the coin that other people might argue that you have to really leap wholeheartedly into retiring abroad. Give it your best shot instead of this kind of cautious hedging your bets approach. I do hope that you found the podcast useful and it's giving you some food for thought if you are thinking about retiring abroad. I think it's part of human nature as well, always to be kind of the place you live, oh, you don't like this, you don't like that. I'm not sure that there is a perfect place to live because some countries may score higher for certain things, like, you know, you can buy a bigger house for less money, the weather's better. But then there may be downsides. So every place you go to live is going to have positives and negatives, and everybody's different in their expectations, what's most important in their life to them. So I would certainly caution to seriously investigate and try, you know, if you're not sure, that certainly give it a trial period rather than just somewhere that you've been for a week or two and you think, oh, it looks lovely to live there. Some people have retired abroad and feel it's the best decision that they've made. Others, maybe if the exchange rate's gone the wrong way, they find they haven't had enough money for the lifestyle they've wanted, missed family and friends, they've decided to come back. It's a big step, but some people really, really enjoy it and get a lot out of it, and other people try it, don't like it, and others never really consider it. Others think about it and are not sure if they want to go through with it. So do join us again soon for another podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.